Okay, I am Dorothy Duffy, and I'm here talking to my sister, who I am about. She will introduce herself right now. So, do you want to introduce yourself?
Rightio. My name is Billy Mitchell, Rose Mitchell as well, and I live at
And where are you from in Ireland?
I was born in Belfast on the 11th of July 1938, but whipped out of there the next day and taken down to the south of Ireland.
To the backlands of Mayo.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm the only one of the 10 children born in Belfast.
And where do you come in the 10 children, Billy?
Number two,
with an older sister, Maura. Okay, so you came over to London many years ago, but for the purposes of this recording, I'm just going to ask you to think about your life between the ages of 15 and 25. So cast your mind back to that flighty young thing you were of 15. So that would have been in 1950. That would be 1953. You were 15.
1953.
If you were born in 38.
53.
Yeah. What were you like as a 15-year-old? Can you remember?
Oh, I can.
So tell me about your life. Where were you living at when you were 15?
Oh, at home in Ireland. In Mayo.
And what were you up to? What was your life like day to day?
Mad. I was really helping my mother with I was the second of 10 children, and as the babies came along, I took over and looked after them. And I was, you know, I adored them. Every single one that came along, I adored them.
How did that impact on your school life? What happened about your school?
Well, it didn't. To be quite honest with you, Mummy was always so tired because she was having so many babies. She'd send me out to school in the morning, and I'd go around the back of the house and come back when Daddy was gone. And then he didn't know it at the time, but Mummy was so tired and so worn out. If she wasn't pregnant, she just had a baby. And I helped her. But I loved it, make no mistake about it. I loved it. I loved every child that came along. And so I left school really at 16. But I never took an exam. And I remember the nuns saying to me when I was leaving, she said to Mummy, well, Billy didn't get any A levels or O levels at that time. It was
the leaving cert and the inter-cert,
And but she was possessed of some very fine qualities. They're the exact words that the nuns said to me at that age.
And that's pretty good for the nuns to say.
Very, very. And I mean, everything was so hard at that time. The education was very, very good, but if you didn't excel, you were put to one side. And it was very, very hard. And of course we had to learn Gaelic and as well as English. And the cane was used with great vigor. The least mistake that you made. And
can you remember what life was like at school at 15? You said the cane was used with great vigor.
Yeah.
Did you like school? What was it like?
Well, I didn't, to be quite honest with you. I never liked it. I never liked school because to me it was, I never had a chance to sort of to get my exams because I was the one that was looking after the children. It was my eldest sister, Maura. She was 13 months older than me. She was very, very clever, and she lived with my grandmother, and we lived in. So there was always one child looking after the granny,
Yeah.
and
That was tradition.
that was very much the tradition. But there was a great sense of, you know, everybody helped everybody else. And but it was very, I mean, I realize now that it was hard, but and I it was that's everybody suffered like that. But because at the time, I'd say there was about 15% of the whole country that were wealthy, and the other lot were barely living at all.
Yeah.
Although we were very lucky that my father had a job in the civil service, and but he started work at 15 as well. But went and he was a counsellor, and
You were about to talk about your education and you were talking about Maura because you said your eldest sister had a very different experience for education to you because you were the person
I was the
who
second mother.
you were the person who was to look after the
The
children, whereas
children,
she didn't. She went
no.
to
She was very clever, and she loved school, and Granny was adored her. And she had a very even though it was only a few houses, she would come home from school, come to Mammy's house, have her dinner, and go back to Granny's. So Granny always had a good meal for her, and she was a wonderful, wonderful woman, you know. But everybody was like that in
But
those days.
how did that affect your relationship with the sister who lived in a different house to you growing up?
It didn't bother me, funnily enough. I had the babies, and I loved it. I loved it.
But she got the education, if you
She
like.
got it, and Tommy got it, and everybody else got a much better education than me. Much, much better. And then when we were old enough, we scooted off to England. But the older, I mean, Dorothy and you and Deirdre and the younger children, I mean, they had, I think, an easier time, didn't you? Well, it was hard enough.
Yeah, we did. We had an easier
Yeah,
time.
yeah. But the boys all shot off to England, and I was there. But we would, the older ones, when we got to England, we worked 7 days a week, and we'd send a half a crown. I used to send a half a crown to Mammy every weekend. When I got paid, I'd send a half a crown, and it would feed the whole all the children for a couple of days. A half a crown, that's 2 and 6 pence.
12.5p.
Yeah.
Can I take you back to when you were 15? Between 15, because you
Yeah.
left home at what, 18?
18, yeah.
So between 15 and 18, what was like life sort of religious wise? And
Oh,
the influence of the church at that time.
well, you just did what you were told. There was no, I mean, there was no gentleness or no love, you know. There was just, you know, get on with it. There was the cane, and which was, it'd nearly break your hands, you know. But that was the time. That was the time. Every place was like that. You know, the church ruled with a rod of iron. Thank God it's not like that today. Well, they have their own problems even now. But I was very, very lucky. Very lucky. Do you know, it sounds as if it was awful, but I don't know, I just put it behind me, I suppose, and thought, you know, get on with your own life.
Mm. What did you think about religion when you were 15, 16, yourself, personally? What did you think about religion?
Well, I was,
and Catholicism?
Well, I was sure I didn't understand it at all. Mm. I don't think anybody did.
Mm.
But I was a singer in the choir at home, and I was always very lucky because they loved someone that had a good voice.
Yeah.
And they were very, very kind to me because of that. If you had some
talent
at all, and I had at that time, believe you me, not now, I had a very, very good voice, and so I used to, you know, get away with, you know, I was always the chosen one when it came to the I was head of the choir, and I loved it.
And was this when you were about 15, 16 as well? Because you entered a lot of competitions and won
Won them. I won every competition under the rising sun. And of course, fathers in those days, and especially my father.
Okay, carry on telling me about the competitions for singing that you were involved in. Because you had a beautiful voice, I hear.
Yeah, I did. I did. And I sang for the CIE Variety Club. And I sang for competitions all over the south of Ireland.
Yeah.
And won them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was my claim to fame and what my father loved, you know, the fact that he could say, well, my daughter won this and my daughter won that. He was a holy terror for that.
I think I remember the Moore's Medal or something.
The Moore's Medal, Thomas Moore's Medal. Which you had to be a beautiful voice to have that. But the thing is that he used to take me around the whole country, and I was only a child, really.
Mm.
And when I came over to England,
yeah.
And Daddy and Mummy had come home, and we'd go to the pub.
Yeah.
And the next thing you'd hear, Billy. Billy, get up and sing a song.
Oh.
And that put me off singing
yeah.
for the rest of my life. When I was about 18, 19, I just, because as soon as I walked in the door and visitors came, Billy, sing Danny Boy for them.
Like you were like a little performing puppet.
Yes, yes.
Mm.
But it was great, you know, because I had a very easy time, and, you know, I used to wait. Daddy used to wait for me to come home to see if I got first, second or third. And if I didn't get first, he was disappointed. That was it. And when I think of it now, I think to myself, my God almighty. But mind you, I sang in the choir at Mass.
Yeah.
And I sang it. My mother and father's funeral.
I remember. But yeah. In terms of your singing voice, just wasn't good. It was exceptional, wasn't it?
It was. I can say that without being big-headed about it. It was just beautiful. Mm. And I couldn't sing a note now.
But also the reason that you stopped was because you just felt under pressure from your father.
Terrible pressure.
Mm.
I felt as if I didn't have this voice that I wouldn't have been looked at.
Yeah.
But when I say that, every second child in Ballinagh, it was the same. It was what you could give that your father and your mother would be proud of. You know what it's like, Dorothy. I mean, you were always the genius from the time you were born. and he was so proud of you. He was literally, but there was that other side. But then he had an awful hard life himself. And I can forgive anything because Ireland at that time was so hard. And
tell
he had
me
a
what you
wonderful.
mean by Ireland being, it was so hard. What was hard about it?
It was hard because there was no money.
Yeah.
And there was all these babies coming into the world.
Mm.
And nothing to feed them. I mean, we were lucky because by the time daddy was a civil servant, that's what he was, and he was a councillor and he was mayor of our town, so he was very well respected.
Mm.
And that's what I cling on to all the time, because I know that he was, if he'd had a chance at all, he could have been president of Ireland, and that's a fact.
Mm.
Well, Sean T. O'Kelly, the Prime Minister of Ireland, said to him one day, Jack, if you were in my place, you would, because he was giving him the address of welcome in Ballina,
yeah,
that time, and he said, you would be where I am standing and I'd be standing where you're standing, you know, It was really hard, and the men ruled the roost. I've never saw a man walk down the town with his wife when she was pregnant.
Mm.
That was all hidden.
Mm.
And no man would ever be allowed in to the maternity ward.
Mm.
All the babies had been born at home.
Mm, mm.
And when Maura was born, that's the eldest sister. When Maura was born, the doctor was called for, and because she was living with my granny at that time, and she was screaming like she didn't know where the baby was coming from, I don't think, to be quite honest with you. And they had to call the doctor, Dr. Kane.
Mm.
And Mammy told me he was delivering the baby upstairs in the bedroom, and Granny was telling, that Granny was with her, with the doctor, and Granny was saying to Mammy, oh, Greta, be quiet, you know, you'll upset the men downstairs, Daddy and Uncle Ned.
Mm.
And as he was delivering the baby, he had the cigarette in his mouth, and the ash fell on her belly.
Mm.
I mean, that's how horrendous it was, but everybody was in the same boat.
Yeah.
Everybody was in the same boat.
Yeah.
And I don't know how half them lived.
Mm. Well, I think there was a lot of mortality.
Oh, there was.
Maternal mortality, wasn't there? Yeah.
And there was a lot hidden.
Mm.
I don't know why. If there was an illegitimate child born, they'd be found outside the hospital, wrapped in swaddling clothes, actually, because they would be the illegitimate babies of some of the rich men in Ballina.
Mm-hmm.
That's a fact, that is, because my own father told me that, our father.
Mm.
So, it was...
So in terms of religion...
Oh,
the Catholic Church ruled with a rod of iron, you said.
They did. They ruled with a rod of iron.
And did you have to go to Mass every week? And
oh,
the
yes.
Whole...
But the crack was, Daddy hardly ever went to Mass. But if we didn't marry a Catholic or get married in the church, you know, there was all hell let loose. But everybody... This is why there's nobody in the churches nowadays.
Yeah.
But I always loved it. I always felt there was a hand over my head all my life, because I met some of the most wonderful priests and people that you could meet.
Yeah.
I mean, when Karen was pregnant.
So we'll stick with between at home in Ireland, age 15. So day to day, sort of, you know. When the summer holidays, how did you amuse yourselves? What was social life like?
Oh my God Almighty! Sitting on the doorstep, and running up and down the street. There was nothing to do, and to be quite honest with you, we all had to help. It didn't matter whether it was, no matter. You know, it was the same. For me, anyway, it was the same for me being at home looking after, helping Mummy with the babies.
Yeah.
And the others would be up playing football or camogie or whatever it was.
Mm.
It was just the freedom.
Mm.
It was just the freedom.
Yeah.
But it was, there was some really, well, I thought were terrible things, like we never knew about having periods.
No.
Never. And I didn't know. And I was 14 when my period start, and I didn't know what was wrong with me.
Mm.
And I thought I was bleeding to death.
Yeah.
And my uncle Ned had died about 3 weeks before that.
Mm.
And he died of bleeding kidneys, they used to call it in those days.
Mm.
And I think of it now, I just, oh. And my mother sorted me out, but she never told me that I would get it every month.
Right.
I mean.
So what happened the next month? Were you just as terrified? Or?
I was just, and I remember giving Tommy a hiding, because Tommy was hitting me. And it was only because I was having my period.
Mm.
She wouldn't have hit him otherwise.
Mm.
And so the boys got it as well, you know. So, and years later, when they used to say it to me, now I know why I was always getting a thump, you know. But it was, I mean, it sounds like hundreds of years ago.
So when you were 15, 16, what did you know about sex?
Nothing.
Nothing at all?
Nothing.
Mm.
I thought that the baby came out of your belly.
Mm.
I didn't know anything. And I remember when Eddie was born, I mean, I was only, what was I, about?
You were about 10 or 12.
Something. And I loved him so much that when Mummy would go out and do a bit of shopping or go up to Mrs. Clark or something, I'd have the tin bath out.
Mm.
I must have bathed him about 4 or 5 times a day. I just loved it. I just loved being with babies.
Yeah. Mm.
And I think all of us were like that. Mm. Even the boys.
Mm. Mm.
Had a tremendous love of babies.
Just as well.
Isn't it just as well? But
So you knew nothing about sex at 15?
Nothing.
When did you discover what sex was all about?
Well,
when would that have been?
On my wedding day.
But did you know about, when did you sort of know about sex, sexual intercourse, sexual relations? Well, how old?
I didn't. That's the one thing. Well, I knew that, first of all, I thought it was out of your belly it came.
But how did it get in there, Billy?
Well, I never thought. I mean, I must have been so thick.
Innocent.
I just don't. But then you talk to all the girls.
Yeah.
And I used to, when they'd tell me about the babies that were born and all of a sudden they disappeared because they were illegitimate,
mm.
and they were sent off to, these babies were adopted by Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the priests that sent them over there to the women that didn't have, that couldn't have babies.
Mm.
And
do you think women got pregnant because they didn't know what they were in the middle of doing?
Oh, they didn't have a clue.
Mm, mm.
They didn't have a clue.
So when did you have your first boyfriend?
Oh, I had loads of boyfriends. My God, I'm
but
sure.
But no idea about sex.
No.
Jesus. Yeah.
Somebody said to me one day, I must have been about 17 at the time, and they said, or so-and-so, French kiss me. And I just thought it was a French. I said, he's not French. I swear to God, Dorothy, I couldn't have been the full shilling.
You were just innocent.
Oh,
ill-informed.
My God. So, and I hear my grandchildren now. You know, my God, Anna said to me, a few months ago, when did you lose your virginity, Granny? And I said, you cheeky little moo. And she said, no, she said, when? And I said, well, I'll tell you. I went to my, when Colin and I, before we were married, I remember that I had a bed sit and he came in we used to, you know, it was all bedsits in those days. Mm. You had your own bedroom and your own. And Colin came in and stayed the night, and we had two separate, a single bed, the separation of the two parts of the bed for the two of us. Yeah. And Josephine, I didn't even think it was, I didn't think it was terribly wrong, because I wasn't doing anything.
Mm.
We were just hugging and kissing and nearly, you know, hugging and kissing. The windows were not locked, and they led onto the street.
Mm.
And Josephine came over and lifted the window up, nearly died seeing me in the bed.
Mm.
And I said, "It's all right." I said, "I've got the pillow in between us."
Mm.
Well, she nearly had a heart attack because she was very innocent as well.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
She was very innocent.
So going back to when your first boyfriend, when you were a teenager.
I must have been, I had half the boys from the school following me home from school at the age of 12.
You were a beautiful girl. You were a beautiful girl.
I don't know about that, but I mean.
So what was it like, you know, dating? And was daddy strict, or tell me a little bit about what it was like to go out dating with a boy.
I know what happened where I got another hiding. My uncle, daddy's brother, had an illegitimate child, and he was so handsome a boy. Mm-hmm. We didn't know about it. Nobody knew about it. And the mother of the child went to England, and the child stayed at home with the grandmother, which was very unusual.
Unusual
for them to keep the child.
Right.
And so he was raised in Ballinab by his grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was my first boyfriend.
Mm.
And he was so lovely, he was. And I went every day out to have they'd walk behind you, or you'd go to the cinema. And it's no wonder my shoulder's bad, because they'd hold your arm behind your shoulder. It's no wonder my shoulder's bad. And that's what they do. They wouldn't. Went out with the boys. The boys followed me, but they never dated as such, because if daddy found out, he would. But anyway, I found out that boy, the boy that I thought I loved, you know.
Mm.
He was sent off to England
mm.
at 16, 17 years of age.
Yeah.
And I found out later that he was Uncle Paddy's son.
So he would have been your first cousin?
He would have been my first cousin.
But then what happened?
And, when
Daddy found out?
Oh, Daddy didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Mother of God, he didn't know
that.
How
did you find out?
Mammy told me.
Ah.
Mammy told me,
mm.
and she said, "Don't tell your father." And he knew that Uncle Paddy had a son, an illegitimate son, as they said then.
Mm.
And it was God Almighty when I think of it. Really, he was so lovely, and he came over on holidays a few years later to see. I think actually. He came out to see his grandmother, the woman that raised him, and he saw me, and he said to me, "Why don't you come back and come?" Because he was up north, at the north of England.
Mm.
"Why don't you come? Why don't you come to England with me?" And I couldn't tell him that he was my cousin.
He didn't know.
No, I didn't know
he
then.
He didn't know,
and he didn't know mm-hmm. then, but I knew then, because that's when Mammy got worried
yeah.
in case something would happen.
Mm.
He was such a lovely, what was his name?
Oh, well.
Mm. Yeah, but it was lovely. It was just.
You used to tell me as well about the dances that you went to.
Oh,
and you'd have to sneak.
My God.
Tell me a little bit about those.
Well, the dances, that was heaven to us. The fellas were one side.
Mm.
The girls were the other side of the hall.
Yeah.
And the boys, our young men, would go up and down the row of women to see who they'd pick out.
Mm. Well, going back to the dances, you said.
Yeah. And then they'd take you out for dances and they'd walk you home.
Mm.
And of course, I was at every dance and went out with every fella and had a great time. But Maura was the Virgin Mary, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I was at the Melodiasis.
Mm-hmm.
And
Melodiasis being a band.
And I was, they lived in the north of, in just over the border to the north of,
Ireland.
Of Ireland.
Yeah.
And where Anne Fumella lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they were one of the most famous bands,
mm-hmm.
In Ireland. And when they'd come down, I'd go up and sing for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat McGonigal, one of the fellas, he took me out.
Mm-hmm.
We'd stay an extra day and we'd go and have dinner. And that was heaven. Mm-hmm. Jeez, we'd have a meal, a good
mm-hmm.
meal, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Maura came to dance with me. Maura was too busy studying, you know, mm. and I said, come on, there's a dance. And one of the fellas in the band was Italian,
mm.
and he was very handsome. And she said, oh, Daddy'll kill us for going, you know, out with these two men. Because they were men.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the alleyway.
Between the two houses.
I said to Maura, come on, and the two, I was the one, you know, instigating the whole lot. And I used to think I was so Holy Mary, but Maura was the one, she belonged to the Legion of Mary and everything else.
Mm.
But I was wild, mm. I really was wild.
But innocent.
But innocent beyond, oh my God, you'd think I was retarded, really. So anyway, we went into the alleyway to have a snog.
Mm, a court.
A court, yeah. We'd have a good old snog. And the next thing was, our house was right, the alleyway.
Yeah.
And the house was on the right.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden our door opens. And Daddy must have heard somebody in the alleyway. And he's going, Billy, Billy. And Maura nearly fainted. And I said, shut your mouth up, don't say anything.
Mm.
He won't come down the alleyway because that alleyway is supposed to be haunted. And that's true, he thought that.
Oh, lovely.
And so Maura was nearly dying.
Mm.
Mummy said I never worried about anything. I would come in at 12 o'clock at night, Daddy would think I was in bed.
Mm.
And if I had a date, I was out.
Yeah.
So it was...
Did any of the men ever try it on? Because you said you didn't know anything about sex.
No.
You didn't know what sexual intercourse
no,
was.
No, no.
And the men never tried anything?
Never.
Mm.
Never.
So different era.
I mean, a French kiss. A kiss mouth with the gob closed.
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Mm.
Never.
And you had... you left Ireland when you were 18.
Yes,
you'd
exactly.
You had all these boyfriends, left a string of broken hearts behind.
I did. Oh, I did. And in fact, the fellas that came over from said, oh, you broke my heart, Billy, you broke my heart.
Mm.
I didn't, I mean, I was really cruel.
Mm.
I didn't know until years later what I was doing to them.
Yeah.
There was one fella that, he was German.
Mm.
And he said, there was a dance hall over here in Richmond, and he asked me out to dance, and then he said, I'll take you home. And we were standing outside the door. We did all the courting outside the door, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kissing it, and I thought to myself, oh, you know, he's going a bit funny. And I said, oh, I've got to go indoors. And he said, you can't leave me like this. He said, he was German. And I said, like what?
Mm.
And so I said, oh, what's that over there? And I opened the door, ran in and left him to it.
Mm.
Yeah,
you knew something was...
I knew something was going on.
But you didn't know quite what it was.
But I just thought it was just... I don't know what I thought, because nobody ever explained it to me. And I knew a few girls that had sex. And
but did you know what sex was at that point?
By the
time you were 17, 18?
Yes, I did. Well, anything was sex. Kissing was sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm. And this girl said to me, she was an Irish girl, she said, "Don't start it, Billy," she said, "because if you do, you'll like it and you'll be doing it forevermore." And I said, "Oh, I won't then, I won't." You know, I mean, God almighty.
What was the fear of getting pregnant? If you got pregnant in those days and you were
married? I would be shot. Mm. I would be murdered. I would be shot, literally. Mm. Mm. And yet, when I think of Karen's baby.
Yeah, that's another story.
Another story, yeah, that was just...
But in your era, in your day as a teenager.
Yeah, and I always think, I think even if I did, well, God, it probably would kill me, but it's the way you go at things. Mm. And even though it wasn't that many years, how old was I when Daniel was born?
You were 48.
48, oh, well, I was a good age then. Because Daddy absolutely worshipped him. The day he was from the.
He did, yeah.
But I told
back
him
in the 1950s.
Yeah,
if you had gotten pregnant, it would have been the end of your life.
It would have been. It would have been the end of my life.
Did you know anyone who got pregnant outside marriage when you were growing up, and what happened to them?
The babies disappeared.
Yeah?
Yeah, the baby's disappeared. The one... Oh! What's her... husband's name. Was illegitimate. Mm. And the grandmother raised him. And that's the one thing about her...
Pretending that he was hers.
No!
I thought that was the situation then, that often...
And because she knew, I mean, the whole town knew, and told him when they were married, that, and he never knew it.
Wow.
He never knew it. But so, it was exceptional mothers took on the illegitimate child.
Brave.
Very, very rare.
But
very, very,
very
rare.
Brave and very courageous.
But you know what Mammy said to me? She said, no, it was Granny that said it to me. She said in the summer there would be sometimes babies wrapped in swaddling clothes and very expensive ones and put outside the hospital. Mm. And there were always the illegitimate children of the very rich.
Yeah.
And they were put into homes and given away to people and...
So you left Ireland when you were 18. Tell me the circumstances. What's the story about you?
Oh, well, me doing a bunk.
Tell us about that. Tell us about what happened.
Me and one of the girls that the father owned the where you sell make the wine, not wine, but the beer and everything.
Yeah.
The Kilcullens.
Yeah.
And she was having a hard time with her mother,
yeah,
and father, very much so. And she said, "I'm going to leave home." I said, "I'll leave with you." Mm. And I nicked £10 out of Daddy's drawer upstairs, and I'm waiting for her. And she said, "Oh, I'm not going." Well, I had done the deed, you know. I had literally got into on the train, the late afternoon train, and got into Dublin. And I knew a fella in Dublin, and I knew where he lived. And he put me on the train that night to Dublin.
To Dunleary.
Yeah. And I just arrived and... I thought to myself, well, now it's, I'd already taken the money, the 10 quid.
And what made you, why did you want to leave?
I was just, I just there was something in me that just wanted to know what life was like someplace else. And also I was fed up with the arguments and the everything, and I just thought Maura was thought that it was wonderful. And God almighty, when I think of it, really.
So why did you not feel able to be open about it? Why did you have to do it quietly? What would have happened?
I'd be battered. I'd be battered.
Because you were expected to stay at home.
I was, yeah, I would have been the old maid sitting at home looking after the children. And more than you, he thought you could stay and live with them forever. In their old age and look after them. And I thought, well, I don't want that.
You arrived in London at 18.
Yeah.
What did you do?
Got myself a job. Oh, like the clerks were there. And
didn't you go to St. Charles Hospital?
I went, yeah, but I had to wait until the PTS, the next lot of PTS group started their PTS. Because they just wouldn't take you in.
So you went to St. Charles Hospital?
Oh, I went to St. Charles Hospital, and that's where Maura was.
Yeah.
And she saw the matron, and she said, well, the next PTS lot will be starting in about 2 months' time.
This is for nursing?
For nursing. And then she rang up one of the clerks, you know, Mrs. Clark, and they said that they'd put me up there. The next day I got a job in the, where was it? I can't remember now, funny enough, where it was, but anyway, I got a job. And a penny for a bus ride in those days. And then I got in PTS.
So what did you think of London? When you arrived in London, the first time you'd been out of Ballina?
I thought it was bloody brilliant. I thought it was brilliant.
It didn't frighten you, overwhelm you?
No, that's what I can't understand. I just love, and I was saying hello to everybody. And I just thought it was fantastic. And I had the first time in my life, I had my own bath. And my own toilet and my own bedroom, but you couldn't put any makeup on in those days
as a nurse.
No, and you had to be in by 11.
Mm.
And no way could you take a boyfriend in. So
did you keep to all those rules, Billy?
Oh, I did.
Did you?
Oh, I did. Oh, I was so glad that I had such a beautiful home and such a beautiful, oh, I just loved it. I just loved it. And Mummy then was expecting, who was she expecting? Who was before? Who was after you?
There was nobody after me.
Oh, no, there wasn't.
It was me she was expecting.
No, Liam was after you.
No, Liam was before me.
Liam was before you.
I think it was me she was expecting. You were 20 when I was born.
Yeah.
So it might have been Liam.
It was, because Liam was a baby when Maura got married.
Yes.
And you were in her tummy.
I was.
Yeah. Yeah, but and Daddy brought over salmon for the nurses and.
So when you left, I mean, you did a bunk.
Yeah.
And you went to London. What was Daddy and Mammy's reaction when they found out?
Oh, I remember the letter I wrote them. Mummy sent me nearly all her clothes.
Oh.
She did.
Mm.
And because I had only one change of clothes.
Mm.
And she sent it straight away.
Mm.
And I said to Daddy, I'll make you proud of me, Daddy, you know, in the letter. And always, because I was always putting myself up against Maura, because Maura was so clever. And I went home on holidays for the Christmas, and he was brilliant.
He didn't
No, no. And in fact, I mean, you know, I had very little money. I, you know, when you, even as long as I had food, and I had a home. It's what was it? It was about £9 a month we were paid, but we were fed there. We were, you know.
You had your accommodation.
We had our accommodation, and we had great, three meals a day. Mm. We had breakfast, dinner, and supper. And that's all I was interested in. And the fellas, if we ever went out with fellas, they always paid. Always in those days. I mean, now, you know.
Now it's not like that.
It's different. Yeah.
So tell us about what was it like to be a young nurse in those days when you started your training? What did you think about nursing?
Oh, I thought it was lovely. I found it very, very hard, though. I found it very, very hard. And Mummy was expecting you. And I thought, then I saw Mario. You know Mario that had the
cafe and queue?
Yeah. I said to Mario, could I work for you at the week? I was working 7 days a week. And then somebody offered me a job. I said, who was it? In queue. And so I worked all 5 days for him, for them, and I used to do Mario's at the weekend.
Yeah.
And then I could send some money home to Mummy. Yeah.
So when did you leave? You left nursing, didn't you? And
yeah.
You went to work with Mario then, cafe full-time, who was an absolute sweetheart, wasn't he?
Oh, he's Karen's godfather.
So he was an Italian immigrant, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, and his wife was lovely as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were lovely.
What did you get a sense of the way Irish people and Italian people or immigrants were treated in those days, in the 50s?
The same as the Irish.
In what way?
Well, they were thought of as just illiterate gobshites, really.
Was that what the attitude was towards Irish people then?
Yeah, oh my, there was big, massive things.
Signs?
That size to put, hang up on the windows. No blacks, no Irish, and no children.
No dogs.
Or no dogs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was the West Indians were the, and the Irish were the first lot of nurses to start there. And it was the first time I'd ever seen a black person. And they were lovely. They were so lovely. Great sense of humour. Brilliant. Well, they care, and the Irishmen, some of the men that came over were illiterate. And Bohola, remember Daddy was telling you about Bohola? The smallest little town in Mayo. And within 10, 15 years, there was 5 millionaires living there.
That had come from there, yeah.
That had come from Ireland. And in fact, they're the ones that made all the roads and everything else. In England. And they sent their children to school and universities and educated their children.
So who were your friends at that time? Where were your friends? Who were they?
They were always very wealthy, funnily enough. They were. I don't know why.
How did you meet them? Was it through nursing or
dancing? Oh, dancing. I could dance every night.
And did you?
Oh, I did, if I had somebody to pay for me to get in. I literally loved dancing. And
what was it like in comparison to the dancers in Ballina?
Oh no, they were very, very sweet, the men were, and very cultured and lovely.
Now, I know before you got married, and you got married at 26.
Yeah, the day after 26.
Yeah,
after so I was 20.
I know you were engaged a handful of times. Tell me about those engagements.
What's his name? What's the fella that I was engaged? The first fella I was engaged. The first fella I was engaged to, I was at the hospital.
Yeah.
And then his friend fancied me. So I said, no, no, no. I said, I'm leaving nursing. And I was engaged to him. And then what the hell was his name? I'll think of it now talking.
Mm-hmm.
His family were lovely. They were third generation Irish.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry Driscoll. Terry Driscoll. And he was very, very clever.
Mm-hmm.
And he was going to... we got engaged, and there was no hanky panky there either, not even a bed.
Mm-hmm.
His family were lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to go over there every weekend. I used to go over to his house, his flat, where he lived with his mother and his father and his brother. I used to stay overnight with them, but I slept with the mother. I did.
So it's no hanky panky going to happen there.
And the brother moved in with, because I would do, so the father and the son, the other son,
yeah,
slept together. Mm. I used to go to mass every Sunday there, you know, and they'd, even if I thought I was tired and I thought, oh God, I don't have to go to mass today, I would never miss it, and he'd pick me up afterwards.
Mm.
And then he said to me, I've got a wonderful job over in what part of Africa?
Where it was Africa, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was Africa. And he was going over there teaching.
Mm.
And he said, we'll get married before we go there.
Mm.
And all of a sudden I got the nerves.
Mm.
I couldn't leave home I got the nerves. And I had visions of Africa. Somebody eating me, you know. And I said to Daddy, I mean, I had great times with Daddy and awful times with Daddy. And I was home on my holidays, and I said to Daddy, Terry Driscoll has asked me to marry him. And he said he's got a job, a very good job teaching in Africa. And I said, can you take me down to the church? I want to say a prayer. Oh God, I'm going to think of it really. I was telling Father from Cute, Hillary, and he was killing himself laughing. And I was down there praying like anything. You know, what shall I do? And I came out and I said to Daddy, I can't marry him.
Mm.
I just can't marry him. And I had to go back. He was in Africa at the time, and then he was going to come home and marry me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to write to him. And the day that he came back was the day I met Colin.
Ah, your husband-to-be.
My husband.
But you were engaged to somebody else as well in the meantime.
Oh, I was. Who was that now? Let me see.
How many engagements? You had two engagements before you got married, didn't you? Was it three?
Three.
What I thought. Where are the other two then?
Oh, when I was nursing as well, there was another one. There was two. I just thought it was lovely having a ring on your finger. You know, I must have been a raving lunatic, and I thought I was great.
Mm.
And
so tell me about the other two.
He was... I met him actually when I was nursing, but I left nursing as well, and because Terry Driscoll came back and begged me to marry him and said, you know, we'd have a great life, and I said I can't. And the day that he came home on his holidays, Terry.
Mm.
That was the date I had the first date with Mitchell.
Yeah, your husband-to-be.
Yeah. And
so why did you break up with the other two fiancés that you had?
I don't know. I think I just liked the idea of a
being engaged.
But some of them I even sent home to Ireland to ask Daddy for permission.
Really?
Yes.
So you don't remember them as much, the other two. Terry you do, but the other two you don't
Terry,
remember so
yeah,
much.
Terry, yeah, yeah. But what the... Oh, the other fella was... I was definitely nursing at this stage. In fact, he was a patient.
Mm.
He was a patient. And we got engaged. And anyway, when that broke up, I was in... you know the hotel in Kew?
Yeah.
Didn't he turn up with his mother, or not his mother's mother or father? They were back from, it was Colin's parents that I was going up with Colin at that time.
Mm.
And Colin's parents came back from where they lived abroad for years.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, oh my God, there's, and I had the Terry Driscoll had come home from Africa.
Mm.
And so I had the two of them.
In the same place?
In the same place at the same time.
Oh dear.
So, but anyway, and he was nice as well. They were all lovely.
Mm.
And I had to marry the lunatic that I did.
So how old were you when you met Colin? About 24, 25?
24.
Mm. And how did you meet him?
I met him working for Mario.
Ah.
At the weekend.
Mm.
And he used to sit there for the whole day just watching me.
Mm.
I sounded a right little floozy, didn't I? And, he had that look, because I loved redheads. I just was mad. I wanted a redhead baby as well when I got married. And as soon as it came out, what colour hair has it?
Mm.
It was absolutely beautiful.
Mm.
And his family were very, very wealthy. And he had a private education. And he went to the same school as some famous actor over here.
Mm.
And the family were very wealthy,
mm.
but I didn't like her and she didn't like me.
The mother?
No, she said that, when he told her that when she was home from holidays and that he was going to marry me, he said, well, don't change your religion. Don't change to her religion.
Mm.
And so the next day I said to Colin, right, don't see the priest. You're going to become Catholic.
And he did. So what was different about Colin to the other three fiancés?
I don't know. I thought he was just beautiful.
Mm.
You know, and he was just lovely.
Mm.
Oh, God almighty. I must have been really... And he was... Everybody loved him.
Mm.
That was the thing. And Gisella still says to me to this day, did you have to divorce him?
Mm.
I said, well, you could have had him.
Mm.
Twice I gave him, a chance.
Mm.
But the third time, I couldn't
cope. So when you first started going out,
mm.
there was something, obviously, that you felt differently towards him than you did to the other three that you gave the boot to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm.
I absolutely, genuinely, and he used to say to me, when the children are grown up, he said, I'm going to take you around the world, because he was so well travelled.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I don't know, I couldn't leave my children, you know.
Mm.
And he said, oh, no, it's when they're grown up. And
yeah.
I thought, I know. But it was terribly sad.
Mm.
Because everybody said, you'll never divorce him.
Mm.
But my children were far too precious to me, more than him.
So that's a tale for another day.
Yeah.
So when you were going out with Colin and when you married him,
yeah,
it would have been in the 60s, wouldn't it?
65,
66? Because I was your bridesmaid.
You were, weren't you? Mm-hmm. Oh, you were a beautiful bride, but you were a little doll. When did I see how
64, I think, wasn't it?
64.
Because you were born, yeah, because you would have been, that would have been 26 then.
Yeah. I was 26 on the day, I was 26 the day after.
So you were still 25, just about.
Yeah.
What was London like then? Was it, had it hit the swinging 60s by then, or?
Oh, yes, and I had the skinniest legs. And I was mortified because my legs were so skinny and everybody had the skirts right up. You could see their backsides. And they just said, skinny legs, skinny legs. And I thought, if I get hold of one of them, I'll skinny legs them. But yeah, it was mad. But I was never mad.
The sexual revolution, didn't you? Were still
no,
a virgin? Yeah.
No, I mean, I was literally...
A virgin on your wedding night?
Oh, the went to bed with the nightdress on and the knickers on and the bra on. And, oh, I did. I was telling... And
did you understand what, you know, I mean, this is 1964, Billy. This was,
I know,
the swinging 60s.
Yeah.
The whole bit. You've been living over in England for 6 years and you were still as innocent as anything. Yeah.
Well,
despite
I wasn't
being engaged.
I wasn't
times.
Innocent.
You knew about sex then.
I knew about sex then. But it was this fear. And of course, I had to wait until I was I had four children. And I said to Colin, we've got to do something about this. I can't have four children in 4 years, nearly 5 years. And I said, I can't have a can't go on. I don't want to end up like my mum, even though I loved children.
Yeah.
But I knew then that Colin wasn't as, you know,
reliable
as he should be. And I thought, what? Oh, so he said, well, we'll use the condom. And I thought, oh, I'm getting a pain in my stomach now thinking about it. So anyway, we went to bed. Oh, I shouldn't be saying this, really. It's the kids, but the kids all know it.
Yes.
We went to bed that night and he's fumbling with something, you know, and we started making love. And I said to him, oh, it's different, it's different. He said, Billy, I haven't put it on yet. Now, that's how stupid I was. That's how, and I told that to Anna.
Mm.
And Anna said to me, well, Nanny, I wouldn't marry a man unless I tried him out.
Mm. This is your granddaughter of 18.
Yeah. And she said, oh, God, no. And I wouldn't marry a man unless I'd lived with him.
Mm.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
Oh, I think it's the one that started it was Sean. He was with the Swedish girl. Swedish. Wasn't it Swedish? The Swedish girl he was with. And he was living over in Sweden. And she was a lovely girl. And he always came over for Christmas Day every year that he was there. But she stayed at home because they celebrated Christmas on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And then she came home over here to me the day after. And they had been living together over in Sweden for a year or two. And but they had never slept at my house.
Thinking about your upbringing and thinking about you saying that if when you were a youngster, that if you'd gotten pregnant, you would have been shot.
I would,
and over the next 40
I
years, but
would
you,
have
yeah.
been, I would have been murdered, and they'd say she's gone to America.
But you feel that the way it is now, in terms of the openness about sex and sexuality and relationships, is healthier. Do you?
Oh God, yes. I'm the one that was on an aegis, but I was terrified.
Of getting pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
That was the
That's
fear.
That's the
that
only
was the
thing.
Fear. Yeah.
That was the only thing. If I felt anything to the trousers or anything like that, I was backing off like anything. Yeah. It was terrible.
So did you miss
But
out?
Maura was the same.
Mm.
Maura didn't have sex before she was married. She, near it.
Mm.
But And I think she, because she got pregnant the night she got married.
Yeah. So she didn't go to bed with her nightdress, her knickers and her bra.
Oh no, I had the whole lot on. And Anna was, she said, oh Nanny, you're... And then I start, I'd forgotten I'd told her. And she said, Nan, you've told me that 50 times, if you've told me once. So I said, we'll know that you'll be all right then. So, yeah, oh, God, yes. And it's so, because when I was married, I think Colin was, I had nothing to compare him to. But from what I'd heard from friends and girls that I had sex before and after marriage, he was a great lover.
Mm.
He was kind and he was gentle and he was lovely.
Well, that's great.
Mm. So I haven't had a bad...
Because men, when you were growing up in Ireland, you mentioned earlier, they ruled the roost and...
They ruled the women. They would not be allowed outside the door with their husbands if they were pregnant.
Mm.
They stayed in. Mm. Or they'd go down with the grannies, you know. Because the grannies nearly always lived with one of the children.
And sort of leaping back a bit, boys were treated a lot differently to girls growing up as well, weren't they?
Yes. Oh my God, yes. And my daddy just adored.
Wasn't there something about the girls having to polish the shoes for the boys and things?
Oh, you had to give them their dinner, never mind. They got first go of the dinner.
Mm. How did you feel about that at the time?
But it was all natural.
Yeah.
Daddy had the first, you know, there was always a massive big pot put on the table.
Mm.
Daddy was the first to get his. Then the boys, and then Mammy, and then the girls.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. But Granny was a wonderful one. Oh, Dorothy, you would have loved her.
Mm.
You would have loved her. She was so... And she was... her husband, you see, I literally don't blame anybody for anything, because nobody knows what it was like in Ireland at that time. My grandmother left her husband all those years ago,
because she would have been born in about 1880.
Yes,
roughly. Yeah,
yeah. And she left her
grandfather.
And
why did she leave him?
Because he was cruel.
Mm.
He'd fought in the Boer War and he was terribly damaged.
Mm.
You see, you have to think about these things. And she was, her, when she married her husband, our great grandfather, her brother, they were living in Ballinaff instead of she came to live in, not out of Belmullet, to Ballinaff, and whatever age she was. But he used to knock her around.
Mm.
And I found out later about him, you know, years and years, and when I was a grown woman, that he was in the Boer War, and he was really damaged.
Mm-hmm.
And so she left. She had the guts. Imagine Granny having the guts in those days to leave. And she went out to Belmullet. Daddy was a baby in her arms, and it was the winter. Auntie May was a year and a half or something like that.
Mm.
And she lived with her mother in a little house that was, you know, had about two beds in it, and everybody slept in those beds.
Yeah.
And she used to work. She used to walk in from just outside Belmullet every month, and with tea and a big kettle, and make tea for the people that were getting the food, you know, from the farmers.
Yeah.
And but then when she was expecting Daddy, was it Dad? Yeah. She couldn't have three children to look after in her mother's house.
Yeah.
And so she had to go back, but she had the bishop and the priest knocking on the door saying, get back to your husband. Really? And she wouldn't.
Mm.
It wasn't until he went back to smooth, you know, to cajole her.
Mm.
And Daddy was born, and there was no way she could ask her mother to have her three children.
Mm.
So she had to go back.
And she's a tough woman.
She was brilliant.
Mm. Mm.
She was absolutely brilliant.
Mm.
But it was such a hard life. It was such a really, really hard life. Mm. But, and I remember Daddy taking us out to Belmont, because Daddy was the first post office man to have the first van. He drove the first van that was ever brought into Ballina.
Yeah.
And he took us all out to Belmullet, and he had whoever he met in Belmullet, and where he was drinking and
mm.
and he took us all in the back of the van.
Mm.
And we went out to Belmullet with him sober, and he was langered by the time he got back mm. in the car. And he said, I said, Daddy, will you stop the car? Drive it slowly.
Mm.
Because you've had a few drinks, you know. And he said, no, I'm not. He said, I'm going from pole to pole.
Oh, Jesus.
And I said, Daddy, the pole is in the... What do you call
middle of the field.
In the middle of the field. He was in the middle of the bloody field.
I remember your dad's
story. Yeah. And Granny was there, and poor Granny.
Mm.
The age she was then. Mm. Well, she was an old woman at 30, she was.
Mm.
And, oh, my God almighty. So it all coming back now. I've forgotten an awful lot of it, but I can remember a lot as well. And I can only think now, God, it was great.
You've got a nice sort of rosy glow when you look back, rather than a bleak glow. Because your childhood wasn't easy.
It wasn't. Oh, it wasn't. Mm. It wasn't.
Mm.
But the boys were just treasured by my mother and father.
Did you feel that you were...
No.
Lesser? No?
No, 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 mm. no. I just thought I was wonderful. I did. I really and truly did.
Where did you think that came from? Because that... must have come externally as well. Where do you think that came from, that you thought...
I don't know.
Were you told? Did Daddy tell you? No. Did Mummy tell you?
Well, Daddy always told me. I used to see Daddy up at the post office when he was going to deliver he'd be outside the post office for the evening post. And I used to run from the technical school all the way up King Street.
Mm.
And he'd be there with his arms open.
Mm.
And I'd jump on him.
Yeah.
And he was always very proud of my singing. And you see, everybody loves to be loved.
Mm.
And everybody loves to be made a fuss of.
Mm.
But we had, like, the time that he tried to run after me.
Mm. How old were you?
To give a good hiding to. I was about 17.
Tell us about that.
Well, whatever I did, He wanted to get hold of me and give me a clout. And I started running. And you know the old road? I was running out the old road. And I got out the old road before, about 2 minutes before he started following me. And I had, you know, because I was so tiny and so thin, I could run like anything.
Yeah.
And he's running behind me. Billy, get back here. Billy, get back here. And I'm saying, dear God, please help me, please help me. Let him have a heart attack, let him have a heart attack. I've told that to more people. And I did.
He never caught you?
He never caught me. Mm. He never caught me to give me a hiding.
Mm.
And I could tell him anything. And I was very good to him as well.
Mm.
I was very good to him. And I was very good to Mummy.
Wasn't there a story about you going to a dance with one fella and leaving?
Coming home with the others.
Tell us about that one.
Daddy nearly killed me.
I know.
And I, oh, but he never got hold of me.
What happened?
Well, I went out with this fella and I forget his name as well. Jeez, if I could remember all their names, I'd be a millionaire. He was came home from England. He was from a family that were very handsome family. And he took me to the dance. And I met somebody that was better looking. And and I just said to him, come on, let's go. And he came looking for me. And that's the first...
The next daddy came looking for you the next day.
Yeah.
Because he'd heard.
And because if this fella had caught me, he would have given me a clout.
The guy you left behind.
Yeah.
The guy you stranded.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's when I got a clout from daddy as well. Because that was a terrible thing. You'd be a floozy, you know. A right floozy. And
so you went to the dance with one fella.
You came home with the other.
The other fella. And daddy found out about it.
Yeah, and came.
And came to find you the next day.
Yeah.
Was it when you were working in Woolworths or something?
I was working in Woolworths. But he didn't get me. I mean, he got me outside, but I started running.
You spent your life running.
I spent my whole life running. But honest to God, I look back on it, you know, and laugh about it.
You always said you were a bit of a wild child.
I was the wildest. I was the wildest in the whole family.
But wildest in a very tame way as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
It was never naughty.
No.
But wild insofar as you didn't... No.
And the funny thing is, once I got married, I was just... I mean, I just loved being married. Loved the children. And I never wanted anything else. But I got it all out of my system the day I was born. And even to this day, I would never... you know, sort of be naughty or anything like that. My children were my life.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, you know, and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. I was just a one-off. And Granny adored me because she knew that I was a one and that I had the guts.
It was very brave to do what you did.
Yeah, oh my God.
Against a very strict father.
Oh my God, yeah. God almighty, poor mummy. She suffered.
You used to sneak out to dances when you were a teenager as well, didn't you?
Yeah. You name it, I did it. Except Nookie.
Except sex.
Except Nookie. Yeah. And everybody used to say, when is Billy getting married? When is Billy getting married? And I wasn't a bit interested. I was having such a wonderful time. Here and over there.
Yeah.
When I think about it, my life seems to have flown by, and I'm still flirting today.
I know you're a flirty Gertie.
I know.
The young priest.
I'll never forget Father Hilary. God adore him. Chasing me round, and Rose Blackman. But he wasn't chasing Rose, or another woman that was. She's dead now. And Mo Walker.
Yeah.
And him chasing me round out of Windsor. He took us to dinner. He was such a good person. I mean, he was a very, very good person. And chased me around the garden. Chased me round Windsor Park.
Why?
Just to give me a clout.
A clout?
Well, no, a smack, you know.
Why?
Because... I said something to, oh yeah, I had a car that I used to drive and it wasn't insured or anything else. And another priest, one of the priests that was going back to Africa, gave it to me. And but that was insured at that time and everything else. And I never insured anything. My goodness, even when I think of it now, if the kids did that, I'd kill them. And... I said to Hilary, he was sitting in the front with me, and Mo and Rose Blackman were in the back. I said to him, "You used to have cars that had you could flick them, you know, to go
indicator,
yeah." And I said, "Don't touch don't touch the indicators and don't close the window, just leave it open. And we got in to the car and I started driving and I said, Hillary, put your hand out the left. Mo, put your hand out the right when you have to indicate, because the indicators don't work.
Mm.
And he nearly went mad. And he closed the window and I couldn't get the window open then. Mm. And but it was opened about that much.
Mm.
And he said, how are we going to get out? How are we going to get out? And who was left outside? We were all outside, but we had, one of them had closed the, Hillary had closed the, we couldn't get in. And he said, let's go to the hotel out there. And he said, ask them to ask the police to come to open. I said, I can't. I'm not insured. I'm not this. I'm nothing.
So that's when he chased you.
And that's when he chased
me. Belt.
And honest to God. Mm. But he was...
Billy, you have to have your lunch now.
Yeah, but also as well, he was so good to Karen. He was so... He was a good man.